Welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. I hope y'all are doing well out there. This is Joshua Allen Greenfield. That is my full name. And this is just a podcast all to help you enjoy life and kind of look outside of the box of yourself and see what else is possible out there. You know, we're breaking down the paradigm. We're breaking down the things that we believe, and we're setting ourselves free, you know, in our minds and in our lives as well. For the last year or so now, I've been part of a men's group, and I didn't exactly start it, but my friend who had brought me in is a new friend, and we kind of like reimagined what this could be with a couple of the brothers in the group, and it's been really amazing. We meet every other week on Tuesday, and every week somebody else takes a turn at like leading, you know, whatever they feel inspired to lead. There's a little bit of a format, you know, we might start off with like an intention setting or meditation, but it's really up to the brother that week who's leading to kind of decide the flow of the night. And what's nice about this is you don't really get like one sort of central concept. It's like who every week different people bring different concepts and ideas. And, you know, sometimes there's new people coming in, and it's just a great way to really have brotherhood and to talk about things that maybe we don't necessarily talk about in our everyday life, you know, but to have people that you can trust, to have people that are open, to have people that are like-minded, talking about like just a lot of the struggles and a lot of the things in life, the breakthroughs, the struggles, things they're going through, so that we can feel less alone and also get some guidance and support. So last night it was my time to lead, and I don't know why, but I really wanted to do something on the finances and money, and it's not really a normal topic, so it was kind of like I felt a little curious how people would react to it, but I called it the spirituality of finances. And the reason I felt this was important is because a lot of what we had talked about in the past was around relationships and building community and, you know, career and all these things. But finances to me are kind of at the heart of everything in our society, and it can be very tough and very confusing for people to really get a grip on like what their, you know, how does this whole finance thing work into their life? You know, we have money, and we have to get a job to make money, and money is the thing that provides us, you know, with food, water, shelter. Like, you can think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and like, what are the different needs, the basic needs we met, what, you know, we need, and how do we meet them? And a lot of these things, almost every transaction that we have is in some way through money. Now, over the years, I've gotten a very different relationship to money, which has completely changed my life. But when I grew up, I was kind of stuck in this world. I didn't know at the time, but I was stuck in this world and essentially this paradigm. And this is the way that most people see it. And this kind of ties into the one of the last podcasts about living in the matrix, because I think it's very similar. So as a child, when I heard about money, you know, when I became, you know, older, I started to see money as this thing that was just necessary. And I knew that I needed to make it. And I grew up, you know, not having to work, and I worked during summers, but I didn't have to work to provide for myself. I had a father who worked very hard and provided for us, which is, you know, I feel really, really grateful for. However, when things started to change and all of a sudden I had to provide for myself and I was out of college, you know, everywhere I looked, people were freaking out. You know, all of a sudden, here we are, this group of graduating kids going to, you know, I was going to New York City with my band, and friends were moving to different places, and kind of like going from this place of being in college where everything was very, you know, some people worked in college, but it was this kind of like no man's land of weirdness and partying and freedom. And all of a sudden, you know, you're out in the quote unquote real world. And the thing about the real world, quote unquote, is it can be very scary, because what does it really mean to provide for yourself? You know, and some people have safety blankets, and some people have savings, and some people have nothing. And there's all these different potentials and possibilities as to what situation you might be in. So like, my brain was always in sort of this paradigm of, you know, I need to find a job, and, you know, it needs to be a good paying job, and I need to be able to do the things that I grew up doing. Because, you know, I grew up with a father, like I said, who worked hard and made, you know, a comfortable living, and we go on vacations, and we had certain things. So I had this belief that I need to have certain things to have, you know, A, to just be happy, but also to fulfill on, like, you know, these sort of internal needs of mine. So for so many years, I assumed that I was having to make X amount of dollars to have some level of comfort and happiness. And in order for me to do those things, I had to work really hard, I had to have a certain type of job, and I had to manage my finances in a way where, like, I was smart, because that's what I was kind of led to believe. Now, just to give you a bit of a background, I moved to New York City, and I had about $10,000 saved up. And I had a degree in marketing, a bachelor, a BS in marketing, as they call it. And I really wanted to focus on music. So I decided, I had a couple job interviews, and I basically skipped them. I was just like, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I just want to do music. So I decided to dedicate that first year, or as much money as I had in savings, to just playing music. And just focusing on writing songs and recording albums and doing everything with my band. And the money ran out very quickly. Let's just say that when you're in New York City, man, our rent, considering where we were living, was not that expensive at $900, which some people, it's a lot of money. We're paying $900 a month and, you know, I have food and basic needs and stuff. And so I was not making any money. So very quickly I had to get a job and then I got laid off and then I was on unemployment and then that ran out very quickly. And all of a sudden, you know, we were in the recession. So people are freaking out everywhere I looked. This is 2008 when the recession hit. I literally moved to New York City, had 1 year there, and then the recession hit. And all of a sudden, everyone was losing their jobs and freaking out, and money was this big, big issue. And of course, naturally, I started to kind of freak out too. However, I just being someone that didn't have much money, it's not like I, you know, I lost my job, but it's not like it was a job that I was like passionate about. I was there to focus on music. So because I was focused on music, I was very clear that I needed to find a way to do this without making very much money because I was not really making any money. And of course, like a piece of my story is that I started cooking and I started like, you know, figuring that out, making a little extra cash. And I was paying for my food and I was doing food challenges where I wouldn't pay for food for like months and months at a time. However, what I first started seeing was that there was a lot of things in my life that I didn't need. There were so many things that I believed that like early on that I need, like I said, comforts. So I started cutting out the things that really didn't matter. And very quickly I realized I was spending way more than I needed to spend. Even things like, you know, face wash and hair gel and stuff. Like, I'm like, do I really need that? So I would buy the basics. I'd buy like just soap. And slowly over time, something just started to shift. And, you know, I had started practicing Buddhism and I started getting more into like spirituality and mindfulness and intentions and all these things. And as I was spending less and less money and making, you know, virtually no money and just kind of living with what I needed, what I started to see was that I had the things that I needed. All the basic things were covered and those were the things that made me happy. Suddenly, I looked around, I was like, okay, I don't have much money, but I have an apartment that I like in a good area. I am, you know, our friends were getting together, we're pooling money together for food, and we're eating really well because we love cooking. We're not spending a lot of money on ingredients, but we're just eating well. You know, we had this little community going on. I was playing music all the time. And one thing I loved about like that opportunity was seeing like that I didn't really need that much. What I really needed was my basics, you know, like the food and the shelter, whatever, but also just things I enjoyed doing. I was living in Brooklyn, so of course that's like a piece of it, and there's a lot of music and fun things to do and free events, and yeah, sure, but most of it was just me self-generating that with my friends. Like, what do we enjoy doing? What are things that we really need doing, and do they really cost a lot of money? Yeah, when you have money, maybe it's like you want to go on vacation more and you want to do this and that, but when you're enjoying your life, when you're doing things that you love, you don't necessarily feel like you need to buy a lot of stuff to bring any happiness. And as we know, material things don't bring you happiness. They bring you momentarily happy. Oh, I got this new TV or this new thing. Momentarily you feel happy, but in the long run, no. So where does this sort of Buddhism thing fit in? So what was happening that was really fascinating to me, and this is where like the paradigm breaks down. So I started to learn about trust and really what trust meant. Like, and I don't just mean like trusting a friend, but like trusting your life, trusting the world, trusting the universe, trusting God, whatever you want to call it. Because when you trust, it's amazing what happens to you. So the more I was studying and practicing these different mentalities, I started to see that like my world was actually working for me. You know, as a child, it was very obvious that like, you know, the world just happened. In my mind, at least, it was obvious that the things just happened. And I was just a piece of it. And good things happen and bad things happen. And I saw them good or bad, and that was that. And I learned from my mistakes. But as I got older, I started to realize that there was actually something much more powerful going on. And that if by trusting my life, trusting my world, that things would show up for me in amazing ways. So I could talk about a million things that have happened, but I want to specifically talk about sort of the money element. So for example, you know, I do a lot of my work on my computer, and my computer was busted, and I do a lot of recording and mixing and all this stuff on my computer. My computer's busted. At this point, I had been going months and months and months just living on the basics, and I had figured out, like, down to a T that every month I had just enough money, and I wasn't even, like, you know, writing spreadsheets, but it just worked out that if I just spent not too much, focused on things that I love, I just had just enough money to pay rent and the things that I needed, my utilities and stuff. So, but all of a sudden, here comes this big ticket item. My computer breaks. I'm like, oh, man, I need a new computer. So I'm like, I'm just going to trust. And I'm just going to trust that something's going to happen and I'm going to be able to buy a new computer. A couple days later, I get a check in the mail for $1,800. There was some sort of thing that I didn't know about. The government decided to send this, like, rebate to people in a certain age bracket. It was like some sort of tax rebate. And it was exactly enough to buy a computer plus, like, a little bit extra. And it was like, just to me, it was a sign. Somebody might say, oh, that's a coincidence. But like I said, I don't look at life as luck and I don't look at life as coincidences. I really see everything happening for you. And that to me is the huge shift in life. Most people, they see things happening and they think it's like, oh, you got lucky. Oh, well, you know, you're right place, right time. You know, or that was such an amazing coincidence. Like, I just don't, nothing's a coincidence. And when I say, oh, wow, that's an amazing coincidence, what I really mean is like that was happening exactly as it should. Because I see the world in signs. I see the world in patterns. I see that the world is working for you and for everyone for our highest growth. Now, there's still something I have to be able to see that and acknowledge it in order to like tap into that and be able to experience that more. But it's still happening, whether you're aware of it or not. From my experiences, from everything that I've seen, it's happening no matter what. So I started trusting more, and it was amazing. This would happen all the time. Like, I would be at the cusp of something. Like, I would be, okay, I need, you know, $300, or I'm not going to be able to pay rent this month. And it'd be like 3 days left in the month. And all of a sudden, that job, that, you know, that catering gig, whatever it was, would come in exactly at the right moment. And it would be exactly what I needed to pay for that month, you know, or if I needed something for my guitar, something would come in. Either it would be in the form of money, you know, or it would be in the form of, like, say it was a guitar thing. I meet someone, they'd be able to fix it for me for free. We'd do a trade or whatever it was. And it was like, suddenly, I didn't feel like a slave to money anymore. So much so, and this is going to sound crazy, but at the brokest I had ever been in New York City, I stopped checking my bank account. I paid for things blindly. I literally, and I'm not talking credit card here. I didn't have a credit card. I literally was like, I'm making whatever I'm making, and I'm just going to pay for the things I have. And I just trusted that I had exactly enough. I never withdrew, and I never overdrew, I should say. And it just always worked out. And that was this amazing feeling. And what I started to see in New York blew my mind. I'm going to give a quick message from our sponsor, and we'll be right back in 2 shakes, so do not go anywhere. So one of the things we talked about in the men's group last night is that money is a social status. It's like the more money you have, the more power you have, the more, you know, access you have to things, and it puts you in like a higher class, and there's more respect and all this stuff. But something that I discovered living in the city that was really amazing and kind of blew my mind was I started looking around at all the people around me and meeting people and having conversations. And here I am, broke musician, trying to make it, living his dream. And wherever I looked, I saw people, some people living their dream and trying to, and a lot of other people not, and just doing jobs to make money, like financial jobs and things. But what was fascinating was I always assumed that people that had better jobs, you know, better quote unquote, like higher paying jobs and that were making a lot of money, had more money than I did. Seems obvious, right? If someone's making 200 grand a year, they've obviously got access to more things. They're making more money. They're more financially stable than I am. Wrong. What I started seeing was that, and this is a product of cities especially, and I'm not saying this is the case everywhere, but in cities, the more people climb the ladder of finances, the more money they spend. So let's say they're making 100 grand a year and, you know, they're doing their thing. They got their apartment, they got their life, and all of a sudden they get bumped up to 150 grand. Well, now they don't have $50,000 more. Now they move into a bigger apartment. So yeah, they have a nicer apartment, but they're paying more money now. They're going out more money now. You know, they're going out more now. They're getting fancier vacations. They're flying first class, whatever it is. and suddenly they're oftentimes in more debt than they were. Now, of course, yeah, like they have more money so they can afford more things, but not really. Not really on the scale of like what is human potential and what is human happiness. So I started looking around. I realized that everyone in New York City was broke. Just about everybody, no matter how much money they had, no matter how successful they were, was on the same level as I was. Difference was, I was enjoying my life. I didn't feel a slave to anything. I wasn't buying things and getting myself in debt because I didn't even have enough money to buy something. I couldn't even perceive like, yeah, I'm going to buy, you know, X for 10 grand and put it on my credit card or whatever it was, because I was only buying what I needed and I was happy. Playing music, cooking, going on adventures, going to parties, all these things. So here's where it gets kind of interesting and odd for me, is that I started to get successful and I started to make a lot of money. And I don't mean a lot of, like, I've never been loaded in that regard, but I started to make more than I've ever made and starting to feel comfortable and like, oh, well, I can afford to go on trips and vacations and buy a car, and I bought a house and all this stuff. I was making money. And on top of all that, I was doing something that I really enjoyed, that's something I really loved to do. But then I started to fall into the trap. Because I had more money, I started buying more stuff. In the past year, you know, moved to Denver, and it's amazing when you have a house and you have some money saved up. It's like, oh, I'm just going to buy these things, right? And I started falling into the trap of like, oh, if I have this thing, it'll make me happy. Oh, cool, kayaks. Oh, $100 for a blow-up kayak? Cool, I'm going to buy it. And I started buying all these things. And not to say I was putting myself in debt, but I started buying all this stuff thinking it would bring some sort of happiness to me. And I actually ended up becoming more miserable because I was focusing less on the things that made me happy and more on buying stuff because I had money now. I'm like, oh, now I do have money. And I thought because I had figured all these things out years ago that it would make it easier, but it didn't. I wasn't even learning from my own lesson. But now things are shifting back again. You know, I hit this point where I could afford to buy any food that I wanted. And again, not like loaded, but I made this commitment to myself. I said, you know what? I'm never going to skimp on food. I'm going to buy the best quality food. I'm going to buy whatever I feel like I'm craving because I don't spend that much money on crazy things. So food to me is the number one thing you're going to spend. And I still think like if you're going to spend your money on something, don't chip on food because it's going into your body. It's becoming you, you know, so don't chip on your food. However, I started finding myself wasting and being less creative because I could just buy whatever I wanted. And one thing I loved about cooking was like the creativity of being struggling, not having a lot of money and having to look in my fridge and my pantry. So recently in the past like month, my wife and I have been doing more of a challenge where we don't buy new food until we've eaten pretty much everything. Especially once we've eaten all the fresh stuff in our food, then we buy new stuff. Because I found that I was just buying more and more and more and a lot of stuff is going to waste and I just felt bad about that. So I want to keep talking about this financial stuff, but I want to also bring in another element. One of the best books, and I think the only book I ever read on finance was called Unshakable by Tony Robbins, and there was a couple other authors that he wrote the book with. And at this point, I read this book maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and at that point, I hadn't really done any investing. I had some stock when I was younger that my dad kind of set up for me through like some funds that I had as a kid, And then after that, when I kind of got rid of them, I had nothing. I had no savings. And just a side note to talk about how the universe works. So when I moved to New York City, I told my dad that I wanted to take out my $10,000 in stocks that I had saved up over years from working and birthdays and whatever, different things. And it was very smart of him to like put that money away and not give it to me because I would have spent it. And you know, he had thought that money was going to be something one day for me to, you know, down payment on a house or something like that. And I said, no, music is my life. I want to focus on music. I have this money. I want to use it for this purpose. And he was a little reluctant, but he's like, it's your money. You do what you want with it. And so I took it out and I didn't realize this till many years later, but this all played into the same thing. I took the 10 grand out. Less than a year later, the stock market crashes. So I would have lost most of the money anyway, at least to the extent that I understood how stocks work. So to me, it ended up being a really good deal. And I realized that investing in yourself is one of the best, actually the best thing that you can do. But I want to talk a little bit about investment because I think it is a fascinating thing and a lot of people don't know how to start. And what I've noticed with myself is that just putting a little bit of money away every day and kind of putting it into the stock market or whether it's crypto, whatever feels right for you, is kind of fascinating. And it can also be really scary because in a way it's kind of like the present day or like this sort of legal, like full scale, you know, like lottery or like a casino. It's almost like you're like when you people buying stocks, it's, they're kind of like gambling. I mean, they are gambling. Essentially, they're gambling calculated risks to see if something is going to bring them back more or they can lose all their money. But for some reason, it's a big thing. That's how our, you know, society works. So I read this book called Unshakable by Tony Robbins, and it blew my mind. And there's a lot that I learned in the book. I really recommend you checking it out. He has a book called Money Master the Game, and Unshakable is kind of like the abridged, more like millennial version of it. So it's a little more easier to understand. It's not as long, but still all the same really powerful information. And while I learned a lot about index funds and how the best way to invest and all these things, the biggest thing that I got out of it is that money is emotional. And the stock market and finances, they come in waves. So when, let's say you put money, just whether you know about the stock market or not, let's say, you know, you buy stocks in a company. We'll keep it really simple. Let's say you want to, Google is a public company. So that means that they have a certain number of shares and those shares are available for people to buy. And the more people buy shares, you know, the more value the company can have. So of course, Google makes money through advertisement and people paying for their use of their things and all this stuff. But they also have people, anyone that pays in and can buy shares. Now, a lot of people that work at Google and the heads of Google have the majority shares. But as a person who, like just like myself or you, you can buy a piece of Google and be a part owner. And it could be a tiny, it could be like one, you know, thousandth of a percent owner, but you still are a part owner in this company. And you're basically buying into Google saying you think that they're going to grow as a company. And if they grow, your stock value is going to go up. So let's say you bought in and, you know, their value of stock was $500 per one share. So let's say you bought two shares. You spent $1,000, you bought two shares. Now, that share could go from their share worth could go from $500 to, you know, $1,000. And now it's over 1,000, I think it's 1,500 or something, whatever it is. So if they're, as their stock goes up, you're making more money. If their stock goes down, you're losing money on that stock. But it's a way, as instead of investing into like a company, which can be a lot of money, like in terms of like, hey, I want to put in, you know, 50 grand to invest in this company. That's like a small startup because I believe in them. It's a way to get like pieces of bigger companies that you would never necessarily be part of, but you can put in a little bit of money and potentially make a lot of money. And there's people that, you know, if you invested in Apple or if you invested in Amazon when they first went public, you know, and you put in a couple $1,000, you'd be sitting pretty right now, I should say, because stocks go up. So there's lots of different ways to invest, and when you know you buy a stock is obviously one of them. There's also things like mutual funds where there might be like these index funds where they might group together a bunch of different companies. So like there's this website called Motif. I actually use it to invest. One thing I like about it is you can buy into different things that you believe in. So instead of buying into like one company, you can buy into like an industry. So say you're like renewable energy. I really think renewable energy is going to be something that's like, over the next 5-10 years, I think this is going to be this really big thing. You buy into it and there's less risk in terms of every single company, because if some companies fail or some companies don't do well, as long as the industry overall does well, you know, you'll end up making money. And you could, of course, just save your money. Let's say you have $10,000, you could put your money in savings account and you will make a small return on that. But statistically, you'll make a lot more money if you're in the stock market. However, the stock market has the opportunity to crash, and this happens. Things, they go into recessions, there's crashes, there's all these things. But what they've said is over time, the stock market is always growing. So people have these dips, like especially someone who's more involved in stock stuff now, like, and I see it, I understand why they say money is emotional, because what happens is, let's say you have $1 million worth of stocks and whatever investment in the stock market. Well, if the stock market drops 10%, which is a pretty significant drop, you lose $100,000, and that could happen like almost overnight. But over time, statistically, the stock market is always going up. So what happens is when the stock market goes into a recession, people start freaking out. So like you're either in the green and means your money's going up, or you're in the red, money's going down. Now it's like a wave. So things go up and down and up and down and up and down. But over time, you know, the economy is growing. So in the long run, you're going to make money. So they say when you put money in a stock, don't touch it. Don't check. I mean, I check most days just out of curiosity. But if you check how well your stock's doing every day, you might have a freaking heart attack because it's going up and down and up and down and up and down. Some days it's like, whoa, I just went up $500. And other days you're like, I just lost $800. What is going on? So when things dip, people start to freak out and they sell and they're worried that the next crash is coming. Because if you have, you know, $100,000 invested and the crash goes, all of a sudden you lose a large chunk of that money. So most people start selling off and they're taking these losses because as it's going down, they're worried it's going to go down more and more and more. So they pull their money out. And at that point, their money's worth less than maybe it was when they started, or it's gone down a lot and they've lost a lot of their gains. But inevitably, the stock market is going to come up. So while it's best to invest when the stock market is down, like it's essentially like things go on sale, right? So if the economy's down, things like go on sale. Let's say all of a sudden something's down 10%. You can get it for like 10% off if you look at it like that. But you know it's going to go up. So when I started realizing that money was emotional, it made things make a lot more sense for me. And I've seen it myself too. Some days when the stock market does go down, I'm like, oh, whoa. But then I'm reminded of that thing that I learned early on, the very first thing that I'm provided for. My life is always going up. I invest in myself. And I want you to know this. I want you to take this as a mantra. Invest in yourself. Whether that means taking the money that you gain to build the things that you love, maybe to save up so you can finally take that trip that you know is going to change your life, or sign up for that course that's going to change everything for you. Because you've always wanted to learn computer programming, or you always wanted to be a veterinarian, whatever it is, invest in yourself and invest now. Just like the stock market, I was reading this thing in the book. They were saying that there was two scenarios they calculated. One, there was this kid who put in $28,000 when he was like 28 years old. And he didn't put in a cent after that. By the time he retired at 65, that $28,000 from being in the stock market was worth, because of compounding and interest, was worth something like $1.6 million. And then he took another friend who started investing later, I think a few years later, maybe 5 years later or something. And they didn't put in quite as much money, but over time they kept putting more and more money in. Eventually they ended up putting in a total of like $65,000 over the course of those next 30 years or so. And when they left, they were only worth like $1.3 million, which is still a lot. But the fact is, the earlier you get started investing, the more you have the potential to make. But I'm not just talking about financial investment. You could never play the stock market in your entire life. And yes, I think there's like I enjoy it, and I'm curious to see what it will do. And I think that there is something exciting about it. But to me, it just showed what investment really is. It's starting now. It's starting early. It's putting your money where you believe. I don't just buy random stocks because people say they're good. I invest in companies that I use. I use Google. I have an Apple computer. So I invest in those companies because they're things that I'm using. If I was not using it, I probably wouldn't think it was a very good thing. But at the end of the day, it's about me investing in myself. And investments take a long time, but the biggest thing I hear all the time is like, man, if I had invested in Apple 10 years ago, oh boy, I'd be set right now. I have a friend who used to work at Facebook early on, and he is set because he left after only a couple of years, but he was working when Facebook was very small. And now he can do what he loves and focus on his life. And he works, but doesn't have to work in the same way that he had to because he's set just from working at Facebook and having some stock there. But again, it's not about the stock. It's about investing in yourself, because I hear this all the time. Yeah, like, you know, oh, if I invested in this 10 years ago or whatever. But there's now. There isn't 10 years ago. There's now. and there's 10 years from now. And in 10 years from now, you could either be saying, had I only invested in this or myself 10 years ago, or you could be saying, wow, I am so grateful that I invested in myself or in that thing because now I am set. I want you to really take that in. What is the one thing that you want to invest in, whether it is the stock market or something for your own life or your career? And I think that is the best place to start. What is something that you know if you invest in now, looking back, you're going to be grateful you did? It could be just learning a new skill. Whatever it is. Even for me, like planting trees, it's like an investment. When I first moved to Colorado, the first thing I did was buy 2 apple trees and a peach tree and a plum. I planted them right away because I knew I might only get a couple apples next year, but over time, this tree's going to grow and provide and feed me all the apples that I need. So think to yourself, what is it that you really want to invest in? And this is where trust comes in. When you trust yourself and you trust the universe is going to provide for you what you need, it might seem scary to quit your job right now. I get it. It's scary because, oh man, if I quit my job, you know, I'm not going to have any money. And what am I going to do? And people tell me that this came up in the group a lot. It's like, well, you know, parents are kind of getting on our case because I need to have money. And if I don't have money, well, then all of a sudden this is going to happen. If I don't have money, like I can't provide for my family and I'm going to be broke and all these things. There's all these fears and all these reasons in the old paradigm to believe that if you change up what you're doing, if you stop playing it safe, that you're going to be in some sort of financial crisis. But the universe is providing for you. It's testing you. It's saying, hey, when you believe in yourself, when you commit to yourself, then I'm going to start really giving you the things you want. And maybe you're not going to have as much money. Maybe you're going to be making half as much money, but you're going to realize that that doesn't matter because when you do what you love, you're going to be happy. That other 50 grand that you don't have anymore, or whatever it is, it's not going to matter because that was going towards things to make you happy because you were doing something that did not make you happy. People need excess money because it's like they need money to take that vacation because they don't love their life and they want to get away from it, you know? And I'm not saying you're going to have less money if you quit your job. You might at first. It's going to be scary. It's going to seem like it's this big risk. But when you believe in your life and you invest in your life, when you do the things that you love, the world finds a way to provide for you and shows you that you don't necessarily need all that you believe that you need to survive. Everywhere we look, there are people doing what they love. And I realized this last night. I'm like, you know what? Someone was talking about like, well, I love photography, but you know, I'm an engineer and it pays me well and I don't really like my work, but I love photography, but it's hard to make money in that. I'm like, okay, you could look at it as hard, or you could realize that there are people that make money doing photography. And unless you don't believe in yourself, you can do it too. And if you believe in yourself, anything is possible. And what makes that person more special than you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So think about what you want to invest in. Break the paradigm of, oh, you know, I'm playing it safe or easy money. This came up a lot last night. Easy money. Well, the job's easy money. I'm like, is it really easy money? What is easy money? There's no such thing as easy money. You know, I took a job recently last year and it was out of alignment and I knew it was out of alignment, but it was good money. It was easy money. It was a day's work.